You send signal, you listen for an echo. At the first splinters, you run to tell Geppetto. And in the worst winters, the whole thing feels untenable. Crow took me by the shoulder and he told me, honey, don't let go.
Nobody feels behind you, all just fearful.
Chapter 20. Days 30 through 31.
Okay, so if everyone is done running around like headless chickens, the Grand Court of Strider is now in session.
The lot of you have taken over one of the smaller lounges. It only seats 10, and with only you, Bro, Dave, Dirk, and Terezi, you've got space to stretch your egos. The laptop open on the coffee table with the dark red text window feels like 15 people's worth of presence, though even if other Dave, Dirk's bro, shit, is currently on idle. Dirk is glowering darkly at Bro. You guess you and Dave flailed around a bit too, because he was the one who had to leave the room a few hours back. You clear your throat before the silent resentment can escalate to palpable levels.
Terezi a Strider now?
Did you forget I was bestowed the name by proving myself in battle?
Terezi says, with a little grin, and then shrugs. She's sitting with Dave on a couch. She swings her leg a little.
No, I have to admit, I'm not entirely sure why myself, though it's not like I mind.
Bro crosses his arms, reclines lazily against the back of the other couch. He is sitting on the arm of the couch, not the couch proper. You're surprised he's not propping up a wall, to be honest. But maybe he wanted to let Dirk experience the joy and terrible responsibility of wall-bearing badassitude on his own or something.
Easy. You're living with us. Ergo, I'm your designated responsible adult. Ergo, Strider. Don't question it.
I will do my utmost not to, Terezi replies very seriously.
You and Dave snort under your breaths.
My utmost about uppity questioning of authority isn't actually very good, though. I feel you should know.
Yeah, so feel I had about you.
Bro sighs, and you refrain from squirming, because for a second, he doesn't look casual and bored. He looks maybe actually concerned, like this isn't yet another joke to roll with.
Just figured if we're gonna bring another adult dude into your space, that you deserve a heads up.
Another adult dude. Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? You remember Rose's hand on your wrist, squeezing so hard you thought vaguely about joking about not having a spare if she popped it off. You couldn't think about it in depth because this guy. Is that, Jane had said, hesitant, as the rest of the room stared like dumbasses. Is that Dirk's brother? You gaze at the laptop window now. Dale Dave had to step away for a bit to take care of business, like canceling apparently half a dozen interviews and promo stuff in order to hop into a plane and race after the lot of you. It's weird to think that the stupid movies Dirk made the lot of you watch the other day are actual things that are actually happening at this very moment. People are already buying tickets. It's weirder to think that your SBAHJ comic site is gone. You'd lost the backup some time back, USB key ruined by a pirate, but... Yeah, Dave went to check and the URL is now a movie promo site. Okay, whatever. I can't believe we basically brought this guy back to life, you say, and look at Dave, to see if he... Dave makes a vague noise of agreement, presses his mouth together in a line he wants neutral. It's closer to, no freak out here, no siree! I still don't. He trails off, tries again. I mean, I sort of do, but... This universe is a mix of the Alpha and Beta Sessions versions of Earth, right? Dirk says. Clipped. Crocker Pop Tech and Lucy, both Beck and G-Cat. Guy Fieri isn't doing politics, no fish trolls or signs that there ever were any. A pause. Beta Guardians. But no Alpha Guardians, apart from Jane's dad somehow. Only, Phil Crocker says John Crocker's urn is on his mantle, John is his father, who died the day Jane and John, Egbert, your own, were born or crash-landed, either or. You suppose Jade English will turn out to still be buried on Hellmurder Island or something. It kind of sucks for Jake that he didn't get his grandma back. Grandma Jade sounded badass as fuck. At the same time, Nana Sprite, yeah, would have been cool to get her back. But she started the game already dead. You don't see a way that she could have come out alive. You suppose it's the same thing here. You're in a universe where they have existed, but their time has still ended already by now. Alpha Dave and Rose should have been around all along, Dirk adds. They don't die in the other timeline for another 6 years. But when there was no trace of them in this universe, Roxy and I just assumed... He shrugs, scowls, tightens the cross of his arms. It's screaming, I'm a distant badass, but... Yeah, you look away. Assumed the game had fucked you guys over, Bro says, neutral. Maybe something about relocating us from our previous timelines. We didn't have guardians around back then. It assumed they were not essential features of our lives. Who knows?
Turns out it was just that you and Dave and Rose were camping on their livelihoods.
Okay then. Good.
Yeah. Cool.
Shit, if you hadn't decided to let go of Complacency of the Learned and Sweet Bro and Hella Jeff, they'd still be, what, stuck in limbo? They don't remember not existing until this afternoon. From their point of view, and the rest of the universes, they've been here all along.
I thought we were out of this fucking game, Dave blurts out, and rakes a hand through his hair.
It's nothing John and Karkat and Jade haven't yelled or growled since the news fell, mind. Are we in the space between Suburb and Suburb 2, Electric Boogaloo or something? Just waiting for it to drop? Fuck!
Solix says no,
Terezi says, and takes Dave's hand and squeezes.
Solix doesn't know everything!
Don't tell him that. He will be very surprised, Terezi confides. Gentle. Dave snorts half-heartedly and leans on her shoulder a bit. She looks pretty sad, but it's more melancholy than about to cry, which would be kind of terrifying, to be honest. Dead during the game shouldn't be a deal-breaker. Just look at Bro and Mom and Dad Egbert. But the thing is, the trolls aren't from your session. They're extra data that piggybacked onto the human party's win. Same as you, to be honest. You weren't supposed to come out. John and Jade just insisted. If they'd been meant to be considered winning players too, this planet would now probably have Alternia mixed in with Alpha and Beta Earths, and they wouldn't have to fucking hide like criminals. It would be a total clusterfuck, you think. And no way to mesh the two planets without someone noticing something ain't right, but... The Guardians didn't come through the last door anyway. They were rebooted, remade. That's why they sometimes remember shit from this life. The new universe insists they should have had all along, and none of the players do. You lower your shades onto your face to check the chat room all the players are idling in. Solix is on a way, but Aridia is prattling about with ghoulish interest at this sudden time fuckery. How sure is Solix really? You type. Just because you want to reassure Dave, not because it hasn't been going around your head for the last 2 hours either. Is it over? It has to be over. You were just getting used to it. Karkat is the one who pings you back.
CG, very fucking sure. He says we should have guessed when we could still code and compile ATH, and it just wouldn't produce any noticeable results. CG, bits of the code still run. There's just nothing much left for them to act upon, so to say.
GG, I don't know. That pirate malarkey felt quite a bit like a side quest to me.
EB, yeah, but it didn't get us any points. Do we even still have Eschladders?
AA, I'm not aware of any.
AA, can't wait to see if any other quest pops up here.
AA, or maybe exploring the frog temple counted.
EB, I don't think that counts. I mean, if the pirate thing was a quest, what did we even win?
You think of your sword, unbroken in your Solidex. Your blade kind. Not half-blade kind. Specibus.
TG.
Oh.
GG. Oh? EB. Pfft. Playing it mysterious, bro?
TG. Nah, nothing.
TG.
Brain fart.
TG.
Smile.
AA.
AA.
Well, personally, I want a kiss from a fair gentleman, so I'm ready to call it a quest.
Yeah, you bet Aridia is the one who's going to know you did get something. If the quest thing was real, if the reward was real, if it's not all just wishful thinking, how do you even tell? You wonder if you still have echelotters, and just don't get to be aware of them anymore.
Eh, weirder shit has happened.
We'll figure out the suburb stuff for good when we get to the island, Bro promises grimly. In the meantime, this dude is still going to get there as fast as a Lalaan chartered plane can haul ass, which I assume is plenty fast if adult Rose is half as scary as our little Rosie.
Dirk snorts quietly.
You make a doubtful moo.
I kinda assume she only had more time to hone her craft, her terrifying eldritch craft of skull-fucking people into doing her bidding. Jesus, this is gonna be intense.
Well, if Roxy unwraps from around her long enough to let any of you guys interact with the broad, you're pretty sure she's still crying and laughing and being generally cry-happy and prone to random bone-breaking hugs.
So much unbridled emotion, and she's not even letting it out in order to fuck with people. You don't get how she can be related to you.
Their life's greatest work wasn't their careers. It was a years-long guerrilla war against the Condens, Dirk says somberly. It wouldn't have started for another 2 years. They won't remember it.
They were quite surprised when Crocker Corp turned out not to have a finger in every pie already, Terezi says.
Dirk cuts her a look you can't read, sharp and maybe a bit impatient. Terezi arches an eyebrow, but you know she knows he's been on edge ever since the big reveal.
What I meant was, did anyone think to tell them the trolls we currently have around are not enemies? Because the only one they'll have heard of will be her imperious condescension. Evil alien overlord, fated to slay them and drown the earth. Wouldn't be surprised if they're kinda touchy at first.
You blink.
Oh. Huh.
I'll do it, Bro says. Guardian to guardian. Gotta make sure they don't take a swing at our resi before that shit is sorted out. That works?
Dirk nods reluctantly. But you weren't expecting him to say he'd do it. He still hasn't been able to bring himself to participate in any group chat Dale Dave was also in. He does lurk on Invisible like a stalker, though, you're pretty sure.
Okay, next item. You gonna want to live with him?
The lot of you striders by birth blink dumbly at Bro. Dirk opens his mouth. Hesitates.
Shit, ask me to solve pie next time. I don't even know him. What if we don't get along?
Yes, his body screams. Yes, yes, please. But then he looks at the lot of you and flounders.
Aww.
Okay, he can be the jet-setting uncle until we figure it out.
Bro shrugs.
Wonder how our history's got. Oh, huh. He's my estranged twin brother that our mom took in the divorce. Cool. I hate getting my background knowledge updated. It's fucking annoying. Okay. So you're now my nephew, only I've got guardianship.
Dirk twitches it off like an annoying but inconsequential fly.
Whatever, I bet you're supposed to be the only father I ever knew, so that wouldn't change much. Apparently I got you when you were like 4. Some kind of drug scandal, absent mom, I was already dealing with the twins, so I obviously knew how to keep a toddler alive, and I still had a clean job. But if he wants to reconnect now that he's made it with his dream job, I wouldn't cockblock.
They stare at each other for a few seconds, and then Dirk slowly, very slowly, relaxes. Bro quirks an almost invisible smile.
Our family history gets more and more like a soap opera with each passing day, you tell Terezi with wide-eyed earnestness.
She snickers back at you.
The TV must have misled me on your mammalian tangle clashes, because this doesn't even sound strange to me, or any stranger than it already was at any rate.
You calling our loving family strange, girl?
Bro says, mouth pursed sternly. Terezi considers it, pretend serious. fearless, and then nods.
Completely bizarre.
Okay, good,
Bro says, and they both chuckle. Dave groans.
Wahaha, poor dude, having his girlfriend getting along with his bro dad figure.
You're so fucking glad Carcat is still at the wary of the big bad adult stage, and will, at any rate, never be the kind to display a gorgeously fucked up sense of humor to Ping Bro in the diseased lump he calls a funny gland. Bro is much more likely to try to make Carcat squirm than come up with private jokes. And then the chat room pings. The main one, with the adults and everyone.
GG. Okay, I'm back. GG. You guys alive over there, or...
You stare at the laptop, briefly unsettled anew. You just... Every time he speaks, it's the same thought. Another Dave? Is the universe kidding? A Dave who's got even more to measure up to. An adult who fought the Condens like a badass, and also was a celebrity with several acclaimed movies under his belt. Shit. If you hadn't just decided that this wasn't a thing you wanted anymore... Yeah, it still twinges a bit, but... A Dave who sounds confused as fuck and completely lost, if you want to be honest. A Dave whose great war went poof under his nose, and he's not even gonna remember how he died, what he was made of in the end. In his personal timeline, it hasn't happened yet, and now it never will. You lean in, slide the keyboard to you before Bro can get it. Dave gives you a weird look. You ignore him pointedly.
GG, where the fuck are you guys anyway? I can't track you.
TG, swag as fuck, parlor on, swag as fuck, Crocker yacht, in the middle left of the Pacific. TG, or was it middle right, by now, I forget. TG, hi other Dave, this is other Dave, long story. TG, let me drag original flavor Dave on the line, we'll chat.
GG, original, GG, flavor, GG, Dave.
TG, doom timelines, man. What can you do?
GG. You don't sound very doomed, bro.
TG.
I was a crow for a while.
TG. Also a katana as long as your mom's dick.
GG. My mom's dick was pee hefty. You sure of your aspirations there?
TG. Ha ha. TG. BTW, you can't appreciate the brilliance of it yet, but my name's Bird.
GG. The same way my name's Dale?
For a second, you blink, and then you remember that, oh right, before the game, Bro's ID used to read Dirk Burt instead of Burt Dirk. You suppose that, same as the fucking SBAHJ complacency thing, the game didn't want two Dirks around, and the player version had dibs. You also suppose it wanted to make sure at least one of them was gonna make it big as a gay porn star because... Damn!
TG. Yeah, kinda, but no, I chose that one.
TG.
Maybe because I came through on my own? I wasn't reformatted like you.
TG. But anyway, I've got photos of Dirk getting creamed at Mario Kart. You want?
GG. GG. Shit, yeah, hand over the goods.
GG.
What's the little bastard even look like? Fuck.
GG.
I mean, Strider means handsome devil, OFC, but... specifics would be nice.
You swing your little camera up from your wrist into your hand and go for the USB cable, pretending you don't notice Dave giving the screen wary little glances and trying to sidle closer without looking like he's doing that.
GG. Oh, hey, hello, baby.
GG.
Hello, Dirk.
GG. BRB burst water pipe bukkake.
TG. While I'm at it, want the rest of the folder?
TG.
It's got, like, Little Rose and Roxy and Big Roxy and their weirdo cat and also me and Dave and Rose being hot and sexy models of incestuous OT3.
GG.
Shit, son, that's a feast.
GG.
How much do I owe ya?
TG. First hit is free.
TG.
BTW, bro got us up to speed on the new backstories.
TG.
For the record, if you actually did hard drugs, I will be disappointed.
GG. Dude, marijuana gives me the runs. What do you think?
TG. Well, I think I don't know you, bro. And just because it's not my thing and we're iterations of the same dude, I'm still hella not you.
GG. Fair.
GG.
Some asshole forgot their baggie at my place after a party. GG. I guess if CPS has to get involved, it looks worse, huh? GG. Welp, my poor rep. GG. I wouldn't have even done that much if I had a fucking toddler at home. GG. Can you tell Dirk that, please? Heh. TG. Yeah, sure thing.
Dirk discovers a ceiling leak of his own that he absolutely must fix out of the room. Whoops. The lot of you somehow manage to duck your heads or find something to admire elsewhere to let him exit, without having to have his shameful plumbing issues unveiled. Only you remember that folder you just sent Dale contains pictures of trolls, Kanaya and Rose laughing like hyenas, and Karket glaring his funny little trying-not-to-smile glare, when the chat room erupts in swearing. Whoops. Oh well, there's time enough until he and Rose Bees catch up to talk them out of murdering your boyfriend's whole species. You're sure Rose Bees will be all over it the second you mention the pants tentacle, anyway. Day 31. You think you'll miss the ship and all its ridiculous grandiosity, and your own shitty but private room. But you also think that now you know for sure there's only at worst 3 or 4 hours to wait, you're about ready to jump in the water and swim there. The ship seems to move that slowly. Anyway, it's breakfast, and you are breaking fast, making lofty faces at John as he toils away with the dad that's actually his uncle in the kitchen, making comments about the help. Rose and Kanaya are sitting at your soon, my precious, right hand, murmuring sleepily to each other. On the other side of the dinner table is the breakfast show. Terezi is sitting between her men, playing footsie with both of them. You can tell when it's Dave's turn because his eyebrows go extra linear, and he takes entirely coincidental pauses from drinking his apple juice. You can tell when it's Gamzee because the table jumps with every kick.
Fucking hell, my juice!
You and Dave accidentally stereo at a particularly vigorous kick. You sponge up a puddle of delicious AJ from the table with an embroidered napkin. Dave glares to his left, your right, even lowering his shades for added annoyedness. Okay, TZ, move your pointy butt, I must sit in the middle, he says, and starts hauling himself up. You try not to snicker audibly at the face all the trolls in the room make.
That is the grossest thing you've ever said to me,
Terezi says, almost admiring. Gamzee nods his head like a bobblehead in slow motion. Gotta get my agree on with the swill bitch. That shit is straight up full on nasty. Standing, Dave stares at the both of them. You pour yourself another glass as you watch, entertained.
You think I want to do it? No, I don't. But I will if you make me, okay? I'm only up for this quadrant shit as long as it doesn't fuck with my life. And fucking with my AJ is straight up it.
You should mediate in bed, bro, you advise innocently. You did not hear Karkat come in, the ninja-footed Adora jerk. You know he's there when he slaps the back of your head.
Don't be offensive so early in the morning. My rage gland will get clogged on sleep hormones.
Then he leans in to kiss your temple hello, so you forgive him. He pulls up the chair on your left, leans forward to say hello to Kanaya and Rose across from you, and then the both of you look at Dave, who is still standing on the other side of the table with his mouth open, and looks like he has forgotten to sit back down.
What you doing, Twinny Poo? If someone told you it'd make you grow taller, they lied.
Did Karkat just kiss you? Did you just kiss Bird? You blink. Karkat blinks. Then he growls.
What, I can't kiss my mate Sprit hello now? That's rich coming from Mr. Let's Put the Public Back in Public Displays of Affection, or drag it more appropriately.
Dave is still sputtering.
What? No, seriously, what?
You do the good boyfriend thing and fetch things down the table for Karkat to slather on his toast and reflect on how glorious it is that Dave still didn't know.
Your what? His what?
The quadrant where you mac nicely and don't have to talk shit afterwards, you inform Dave generously. Granted, you and Karkat often still talk shit afterwards anyway, but You can also finger comb each other's hair or play connect the scars, or do nothing and just cuddle.
Dave remembers to close his mouth.
Not for very long, and you'd pretend you mind, but
yeah, still the best fucking show.
You guys are dating?
Yes, Rose says dryly. You confirm with a casual nod, eyes drifting unconcernedly to some painting on the wall behind Terezi, who has a fist in her mouth to keep her muffled shrieks from escaping. Gamzee is making a vaguely disgusted, but he'll live with it for Karkat's sake, face. Rose rolls her eyes.
They're very cute. And now, Karkat, can you stop monopolizing the butter?
Karkat takes the time to butter another piece of toast before he graciously slides the butter dish back at you. You slide it on to Kanaya. Dave scans the table slowly, face after face, and then John's face when he comes back with another plate of pancakes.
Did you rope them into this, Egbert?
John puts the plate down. Karkat disappears two pancakes.
Huh? What?
Vantus and my paradox twin, Dave replies. Working so hard to sound neutral, it ends up even more peeved than allowing some expression through would have. Kissing each other on the face. I mean, Karkat is the most humorless fucker I've ever met, but talking him into playing along with a joke, that'd seriously be the crown of your career, so...
John's face lights up and he grins. Oh, wow! You still didn't know?
He didn't know! Karkat, he didn't know and you let it slip when I wasn't here to see his face? That's mean, bro.
Who the hell gives a jolly folk dance who knows? Karkat grumps into his pancake
and then sneaks you a look and hunches over a little, mumbles at you.
I forgot he didn't know. I mean, sorry.
You shrug one shoulder, crook him a tiny smile.
Dude, this is a great reveal. I'm cool with it.
You could have orchestrated something more dramatic, but, you're not the one who's all obsessed about being a prankster. This is schadenfreude without any effort on your part, which is pretty much ideal.
Did everyone know before me?
Pretty much, yes, Kanaya says with an apologetic look. They were hardly discreet, Dad Crocker adds, calling out from the kitchen, and you... Okay, this is backfiring a tiny little bit.
Yeah, Mom Lalonde adds, also from the kitchen, when did she get there so unfair?
The dads had a dadly convo about how to handle teenage sons becoming sexually active and everything. You start seriously contemplating the possibility of smothering to death in pancake. Seems like it would be a comfortable death. A fluffy and delicious last embrace. Oh, Jesus.
Anyway, Phil, she says, barely quieter, I gotta borrow you. We're approaching some reefs, and I don't know if Jade's piloting skills...
Crocker Pops calls John back to supervise whatever it is he left on in the kitchen, and he and Mom Lalonde thankfully depart. You clear your throat.
Not mortified at all. Quick, let's pass the buck.
Yeah, so, hey, by the way, Dave, me and Karkat are a thing, just so you know.
Thanks for not telling me, Dave answers. Just as deadpan.
Also, for the sudden team switching. Is it part of your evil twin shtick? Are you trying out the depraved bisexual trope, or... You check that John has left the room, and then you lean over the table and hiss, clear enough for, like, everyone else who might bring it back to him.
Don't make me remind you about the derp sandwich fantasy, yeah? You know the one.
Dave splutters. You sit back down, vindicated.
Dude, I was 13. I had fantasies about turnips.
Also, don't tell me your girlfriend has no troll dick to handle. I'd be hella fucking sad for you and your vanilla life.
Okay, and now he's turning red.
Here is someone whose horizons would have benefited from the school of sprite-enforced celibacy.
Okay, so you got kind of obsessed with trying to find a fantasy that still did it for you back in the day?
Maybe.
Oh! Do you know how human boy mating parts handle then?
Terezi asks Karkat casually across the table.
Great! My auricular sponge clots are wide open for tips of all kinds. I asked Kanaya, but apparently female humans have different parts.
Is it Christmas? In June? Wait, you guys still haven't done it? You ask Dave,
who turns redder and glares at you so hard you almost feel a burn through his shades. Your own shades are in your hair. You smirk back at him, slow and smug. Then Karket's elbow finds your ribs. Oof.
Yeah, we still haven't had penetrative sex either.
Ha, Dave hisses. You pout. Okay, so the race is still on. You are still leading, so whatever.
But sure, I've handled that shit. I'm basically a champion human tool handler at this point. We can have the talk anytime you want.
You look at Karket, looking at Terezi, and yeah, you know they have a history, and he's a little awkward about the offer. Mostly because it's sincere, you think. And he's like you. He's weird about that. But that's all it is. The little smile on his face is easy, not nervous. He's so cute, you barely mind that he's talking about your dick like it's a weird alien gizmo he found on the floor. The way she grins back is so fond, you want to go daw and lock them together in a gossip chumpage for all eternity. But that might be too incestuous as quadrant grids go. Oh well. So romantic, Rose muses, eyes gleaming. You make a humph face at her. Kanaya is smiling into her coffee cup. Yeah, fucking sweet, Dave grumbles, still red to his ears. Team planning for my de-virginizing. Awesome. Gamzee throws him an actual side glare. What, you can't get off your glutes and plan at your own bad self? Don't got my understanding on how any of you space monkeys can be this bucket shy and still with the miracle of life. I told you why already, you say, frowning a little. Because, yeah, it was pretty traumatizing. And it still makes no sense in my pan, bro. A boneless shrug. But any which way, heart of my spades, bro.
Both Dave and Terezi throw him a wary look. Karket has an eyebrow up, like he's keeping watch, but so far nothing is requiring his expert face fondling skills.
Since you can't get your hurry the fuck on up, and you want first in her nook, so strong you got all the block and every fucking thing. Mind if she plows my nook in the meantime? Because shit, son.
Gamzee! Terezi shriek gasps, like she wants to snarl and to laugh all at once. Wow, shit, they haven't done it either? You kind of thought they would have. They're always, Well, there are other ways. Ways you are getting a bit more knowledgeable about pretty much daily. But wow, your illusions, shattered. You guess that Ming-looking vase was only coincidentally looked like someone had used it as a bucket then. Anyway, contrary to you and Karket, it's visibly not because they're not ready to make that step. Wowza.
Why? Dave says. He looks about to have a heart attack, or maybe go on a table-flipping rampage. You pick up your juice, just in case.
Why are you bringing that up at breakfast? Why?
Gamzee blinks slowly.
Why not? Even that feather beast motherfucker got his ass in gear.
Gamzee, that's a private topic,
Karket says, but he sounds pretty entertained. That jerk. Cute jerk.
Joking around is one thing, but I, for one, don't really want to know that many details about you guys' sex arrangements.
Thank you.
Karket turns to Dave.
Though, if you really did ask Terezi to wait on you, huh, Terezi, I'm surprised. You know how bad that can mess with your whole grid. Then you've also asked a lot of Gamzee, so he probably does deserve a gesture of good faith back.
And we're back to Dave mediating in bed, you say, with a barely smothered snicker.
Karket slaps the back of your head without breaking stride. And I think this is as close as I ever want to get to discussing my Moirail's nook, so hey, how long until we get there?
I'll go and ask, Dave says, and pushes away from the table. He steals a piece of toast on the way and stomps out. Kanaya applies her elbow to your ribs with grace and discretion, and also some truly magical, sharp-ended bones. You yelp. She leans in, mutters from the corner of her mouth.
This was all very funny, but also a bit mean to Dave.
Yeah, kind of a bit. You lift your hand in surrender and climb to your feet. Okay, okay. Karket, I'll catch you later, yeah? He arches an eyebrow at you as your hand lands briefly on his shoulder. But his face is now stuck in a coffee mug John just brought him, and you're pretty sure it's not going to come back out until the thing is half drained. You pick up your dishes and flash step to the kitchen to dump them and jog up after your clone bro. He's already a level and a half up. Ugh. Hey, Dave? Goddamn, son, your calves are toned enough. Slow down, you call up the stairwell. What do you want? He grumbles, but he does slow down. You catch up, breathing only a little hard, and you pray bro won't catch you, or else you're good for some serious endurance training. Sorry? I guess we ragged on you a bit much there. He stares at you for a few seconds, and then he sighs. You're just being nice because you know it freaks me out, right? That's just as good as, yeah, apology accepted, and also you're wrong, I wasn't sulking like a little bitch over getting ribbed anyways. You shrug. Yeah, pretty much. The two of you resume climbing. So, when you told Gamzee you were macking on Karkat that one time, you were actually telling the truth. Shit, man, that's months ago. Gotta do something for the anniversary. 3 weeks, technically. But we weren't dating yet, just hooking up. A lick of honesty prompts you to add. Also, the big junk-touching event happened literally 2 days ago. You're probably still in the lead. Dave's back straightens a little. Ha! Don't get too cocky now. It took you how long to go from first chaste kiss to shaking hands with her happy tentacle? And it sounds like she hasn't returned the favor yet? Dude, have you seen her claws? Ha, your boyfriend sends them down for you. At this rate, I'll be unicorn free 5 or 6 years before you. Dave kicks back without looking. You dodge. God, don't remind me. Her pocket surprise traumatized me. You arch the fuck out of your left eyebrow. Did it now? Haha, even his neck is red. He ducks his head, mumbles. Okay, maybe not. Pfft, that tool. He's so easy. Dude, you realize we still gotta have about the same kink so far, yeah? Dave grunts and doesn't answer, but his ears are still pretty red. Win! You're caught by surprise when he gets to the third level landing and veers to the lounge instead of the pilot's room. He props himself up against a divan. You stand in the doorway, eyebrows up, waiting patiently. You can see him darting glances at your uncovered face. Your shades are still holding up your bangs. It's not like you want to do without entirely. And they're a sweet fashion accessory, okay? Ugh, nothing. I just wish some kind of diagram of troll parts would just, like, materialize out of thin air, and no one would have to talk about it. Oh, you're thinking of diddling a troll? Here, have a pamphlet. Because you might be Mr. Sharing is Caring nowadays, but I'ma kick you down every single stair this ship has if you try to share that, like, in detail. Pfft. Wow, would that piss Karkat off. Even though you bet right now he's giving Terezi the how to wank a human dick spiel, illustrated. You don't want to talk about his junk in particular anyway, because the way it swallowed your fingers all warm and snug, that is yours. Where's the Pornhub when we need it? You say, commiserating. Dave relaxes a little, probably caught your subliminal. Nope, not going there, signals. Man, I haven't seen it in forever, not a clue. And do you think we could subtly drop it near one of the trolls and they'd take the hint and do what a good Samaritan would and fill it with xenoporn that no one would have to acknowledge afterwards, ever? A small pink rectangle arches through the air over your shoulder and lands on Dave's knee, rebounds on the divan. Clatter. Stop. Holy fucking shit. It's the Pornhub netbook. Do I want to turn around? You ask Dave, already knowing what he'll tell you. No, you fucking do not, he says unsurprisingly. You same-faced motherfuckers make all kind of funny jokes, Gamzee says, mellow and insincere. You scrunch your eyes closed. He is standing by your shoulder. Of fucking course. Why? Bro, I'm entirely on board with you heretic-eyed fuckers learning how to best bring proper service at my quadrant mates. Ain't hardly no trouble at all, and hurry the fuck up already. You hear him drag his feet down the corridor.
the way you did not hear him drag them to here. Dave is staring back into your eyes with the same shuddering wince. Forever unclean, you say as he slides off the couch, like the Pornhub is now a live snake. Hey, little bro, John calls out happily from the pilot's room, and Gamzee calls back, almost cheerful.
Hey, my pocket-sized older motherfucker.
John protests the moniker. You and Dave grimace at each other. How many faces does the guy have? You think maybe only two, actually? They just flip so fucking fast. Creep. You guess Carquette must like them deeply fucked up. What that would say about you, you decide to ignore entirely.
Ugh, Dave groans with feeling. And I still have to go into that room. I mean, it's probably why John's there now, but I fucking said I would.
You pat his shoulder sympathetically.
Yeah, that's rough for you, you say, and abscond the fuck off this level of the ship entirely.
On the way down, you see just about everyone who wasn't crammed into the pilot's room arrayed on the sun deck, packed at the prow. There are rocks breaking the water here and there, bare at first, then streaked white with seagull shit, and you almost don't get what they're staring at until Terezi fucking Pyrope wipes her eyes and a fucking white dolphin with wings breaches the water to ride the waves. In the sky, so far it'd get dwarfed by your pinky if you put it in the middle, there's a dragon. You stand at Kanaya's shoulder and watch between her horns and Jane's wind-tousled head as a fleck slowly grows on the horizon.
I can't believe we actually got here. Jesus Francesco Christ.
Jinx!
Terezi and Jane say together, and get you on both hip bones. We're not actually there yet, Jane berates, without taking her eyes off the dolphin, now dancing it up with a buddy. Carquette rolls his eyes at you, and you make injured doe eyes at him. After that, he drapes an almost entirely casual arm around your waist and tucks you against his side. Swoon! So manly! Heh.
Can you believe I'm going to miss this ship? Terezi says. All this sunlight and good stiff marine breeze.
I can't, Carquette replies cynically and throws you a side look. Couldn't your older redundant triple clone get here earlier and buy us a plane with his apparently ridiculous amount of human money?
No, it was good like this. Just what the doctor ordered. Still can't wait to step onto solid ground, though. You nudge Carquette. Purse your lips. Hey, I'm delicate about Third Dave, okay? It was a joke, and not even a great one. You didn't expect both him and Kanaya to turn their heads to stare at you, brows furrowed, trying to decide how much they should fret. Whoops. I was kidding. Seeing how divergent his timeline is, he's guaranteed to be a lot less Dave than actual Dave is. I'm cool with it. Also, there's the fact that you're not Dave. You guess you'll always be a Dave, but eh. You bump your right shoulder against Carquette's. Pat Kanaya's shoulder. Eye the island. It's growing faster than you expected. You can see Jade's tower spires already. Also, something that pings you as either a dragon gone for a swim or a sea serpent.
Hey, you know what? Maybe I should go and pack my shit. That way I'll be ready for when we inevitably have to strife the wildlife to get to land.
When you get to your cabin, all your clothes are off the rack, at the bottom of the cupboard, and G-Cat is giving messy green birth right on top of them. When you start yelling, she's thoughtful enough to teleport you right on top of Roxy. The end.
I know you lost a bet, your head will catch your breath, but when the worst relents, you learn to live on less. You learn to live on less, you learn to live on less, you learn to live on less. You duck some, you take some square. Your luck runs out, you're there in midair. But when the big one comes, you'll know by the snare. You can't be too careful, ignore all the scarecrows. Time flies like the crow does. No regard for the grid. I can't ask you to show love, but would it kill you if you did? Time flies like the crow does. No regard for the grid. I can't ask you to show love, but would it kill you if you did?
Nobody feels the harm. You all just fear the foe.
The music used in this podfic is The Crow by Dessa. Crash Standing, or an account of the post-game life of one Bird Sprite Strider, aged 16, presents a succinct yet accurate summary in the form of haiku. Lo, there it comes back. Inappropriate boner. Fuck hell, not again. Author's notes. P.S. Alpha Rose's name is now Ruby and her screen name is Gad Transcribed, because I like inverting the initials of their handles from the kid they're guarding. Alpha Dave slash Dale is Gift of Gab. Tried to slip her name in the chapter, but oh well. If you enjoyed this podfic, please leave feedback for both myself and for the author. You can find this podfic at archiveofourown.org/users/opalsong. Thanks for listening! Reader's notes. This was recorded for Hana Nobira for ITPE 2016. I know you said you can't do teenagers, and I was like halfway through recording this before I realized that in this, Dave is a teenager with a vengeance, and it's a thing. So if you listened to all of it and got to hear, I'm sorry. This is the first thing I've recorded for ITPE, and I'm currently trying to record you something else with less teenagers, or at least with these characters being less teenager-y. But yeah, sorry. Sorry about that. Yeah, I love this story so much. Bird. Oh. Why do I keep saying pesterating?